Hi, everybody. It's Richard Zwicky with the Green Peak. And joining us today, we have Rebecca Conti-Corr, who is the Executive Vice President of Investor Relations and Strategy at Ascend Wellness. Welcome to board, Rebecca.
Hi, welcome. Thanks for having me.
So Ascend Wellness is a multi-state operator with assets in Illinois, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Ohio, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Quite a really nice footprint through the Northeast and Upper Midwest. Been growing nicely and actually had some great results that just came out. Why don't we start with actually taking a look at what the results looked like, and then we can talk about what's coming in the future.
Sure, sounds good. So that's exactly right. We're a multi-state operator with 36 dispensaries as of this morning in seven states, and we've got we're vertically integrated in six of those states as well. And yesterday we just posted our Q4 and our full year results. We were really pleased with those. It was our first full year of generating positive cash from operations and our first full year of generating positive free cash flow. So we were really excited to meet that milestone for the first time since our company was founded in 2018. We also had meaningful revenue growth and adjusted EBITDA growth compared to prior year. So our revenue for the full year was up about 28% and our adjusted EBITDA was up about 14%. So we were really, really pleased with the growth that was coming from both the retail and the wholesale side of the business.
And those are great numbers. And was it overall growth in volume or was it a growth in share in the market? Or what did you see as the change?
Sure. So it's a combination of a few things. So and it depends state by state and retail versus wholesale. So from a retail perspective, this year we benefited from the opening of six new stores in our footprint, and then we also acquired four stores in Maryland. And then shortly after we acquired those stores, they converted to adult use. So those were the key drivers on the retail side of the business. We also had the full year benefit of adult use sales in New Jersey, which started halfway through last year. And then we had the full year benefit of that from this year. And then on the wholesale side, it was really just increased market penetration in our three key third party wholesale markets. And those are Illinois, New Jersey, and Massachusetts. So our, I'll give you a couple of examples. In Massachusetts, our Simply Herb brand, which is our value oriented brand, we launched it about 2 years ago, and it's now the number one brand in the state. And we went from 0% market penetration to over 50% market penetration in Massachusetts.
And what do you attribute that to?
I think it's really just right place, right time, right offering with Simply Herb. So the state was kind of going through a little bit of fatigue with the products that were there. The consumers were searching for a value-oriented product, and that's exactly what we delivered with the Simply Herb brand. And actually, I guess while we're on Massachusetts, we even kind of doubled down even further in the state. We just announced that we signed a definitive agreement to acquire a second cultivation facility in Massachusetts, just because we haven't been able to keep up with the demand that our third party wholesale customers have wanted, and then also our three stores there as well.
How large is the facility?
So our existing facility was 54,000 square feet of canopy. And then the new facility that we just bought, we're doing a little bit of a tweaking and modification, but it'll have 15,000 square feet of canopy. And then we also have a kitchen there now as well. So historically, we didn't produce our own edibles in Massachusetts. Right. And so now we can produce our own edibles in Massachusetts.
Which is great for diversification, quality control, and the bottom line.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. And Massachusetts has been an interesting case where, you know, it's been handled a lot very differently than some of the other states in terms of how the market's evolved. When I take a look at where you've got your footprint, I mean, Massachusetts and Michigan are really progressive, but of course, you're surrounding New York, but not in New York. How do you look at New York? Because there's all sorts of different attitudes about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So we actually had... we were kind of halfway down the road with an acquisition in New York about a year and a half ago at this point. And we walked away from it for a few reasons. One, because specific to that acquisition, but even in addition to that, we weren't crazy about how the New York market was evolving. So I'm sure, you know, you're up in Victoria, but if you've been to New York recently, you can walk around and any street corner that you go on, there's illicit gray market cannabis offers. Sure. So the market has really let the illicit and the gray market get a little bit out of control. quite frankly, and that stifled the opportunity for the legal cannabis market. So it's not a market that we're particularly interested in today. Conversely to that, though, we're really excited about the New Jersey market right across the river that we are in. So we've got 3 retail stores in New Jersey today, and about 42,000 square feet of cultivation capacity in New Jersey. And we continue to expand our presence in New Jersey, both on the retail and wholesale side, retail with our 3 stores, but then we're also partnering with a lot of social equity stores. And we just made an announcement on our call yesterday that we're going to be partnering with 1 store. We've recently signed a definitive agreement in New Jersey. So we're excited to really dig in on this strategy in some of our key states like New Jersey.
Right. You know, that goes back to a comment you made earlier about Massachusetts, and I believe it was Massachusetts with regards to your value brand and how it's now, you know, the dominant in the market. Is that a branding strategy that you want to use across all of your marketplaces, that particular a product that mimics it, or is it as close to identical as it across all of the different markets?
Yeah, I think there's a time and a place for the value proposition. And it's definitely a component of the spectrum of our offerings. So we service what we consider the good, better, best branding strategy, and our value brand kind of coming in on that good category and servicing those price conscious consumers that are looking for a little bit more a deal, and they're very value conscious and value driven. So we definitely have a category and an offering for them. But we also do see up that whole spectrum. We've got an offering for the super premium cannabis as well with our Royale brand. And in New Jersey, they're all kind of resonating with the consumers. But New Jersey, our Ozone brand is resonating really well, which is more of our middle of the road, more of our middle of the road brand, I would say.
Right. And how are you finding the change in market price take up with regards to product mix from flower to edibles to anything else? Because obviously a lot of people are noticing, you know, those changes, but it also affects the bottom line.
It definitely does. And you have to look at it kind of across the whole products that the whole product stack. We look at our price per flower and kind of how that changes day by day, month by month, quarter by quarter. But we also look at the price per pound equivalent. So the blend of all of the products that we're selling, and we definitely track all of those as well.
Right. But in terms of demand, are you noticing much of an evolution and shift for what people are asking for when they walk in the door?
Not necessarily a big shift. I mean, I think there's definitely gravitation towards convenience. So disposable vape carts is one thing that we're seeing a little bit of gravitation towards some of the less premium flower as well. So with shake and trim also being popular, popcorn as well. But at the same time, we kind of have to have all of them, because you do have different consumers that will come in and look for all the various form factors and products.
Absolutely. It's always insightful to, in a business, when you see a market shift towards the, even if volume goes up, the price point that the average price point and the mix goes down, it isn't necessarily a bad thing for the business, but it's informative about people's sense of the marketplace as a whole and the economy as a whole.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Yeah. So it's, and that of course guides decisions about new stores and operations and development, right?
Yes. Exactly.
So on that, we should come back to that after we take a short break. Okay. We'll be back in a moment on the Green Peak with Rebecca Conti-Core from Ascend Wellness. And we're back on the Green Peak with Rebecca Conti-Core from Ascend Wellness. And Rebecca, just before the break, we were talking about the product mix and some of the changes, and you were going to make an additional point with regards to it and something that you've noticed as being interesting.
Sure. Yeah, I was just going to say, kind of in line with the value proposition that we have for some of our products from a wholesale CPG category side of the house, we also have a value-oriented component to our strategy from for the retail dispensary. So 9 of our 36 dispensaries that we have today are outlet strategy. And basically what we have there is everyday low prices. So rather than in some cases where you have a daily deal or 30% off pre-rolls on Thursday, 30% off vapes on Tuesday, whatever it might be. It's just consistently our everyday low price, where consumers can rely on getting the most value for their products at our stores. So 9 of our stores today are this outlet model. And we're really selective about the markets in which we choose to have outlet. So some of them are a little bit more saturated from a competitive standpoint than others, or they're just demographics where we know our consumers are a little bit more price conscious.
Right.
This is kind of one of the legs to the stool of our strategy is the outlet retail concept.
Well, in traditional retail, that is actually not uncommon that as the market gets saturated, the participants in the marketplace begin to open up discount stores, outlet stores, stores that are more volume focused and offering a different product mix, and they'll have the premium as well in certain markets, and that allows for a much broader penetration. Which markets do you see that being the dominant case for new store openings? And how long do you think it'll take for somebody opening today to start running into that as well? Because as new markets open up, everybody should be forecasting what a year, 2 years, and 3 years out looks like.
Yeah, so some of our markets, we have shied away from the outlet strategy. So for example, we're in northern New Jersey. There is still plenty of demand to meet the existing supply of stores that are in that area. None of our stores are branded outlet today. On the contrast, the 3 stores that we've recently opened in Pennsylvania are in demographics that might gravitate towards this more price conscious value proposition. Also, they're medical only today. So we've opened those up as outlets for now. Then there are some other markets that we compete in that are becoming a little bit more competitive. So for instance, the Chicagoland area, in Illinois, and we'll be looking to open some of our newer stores there that we're partnering on to be in this outlet model as well.
And as you look at future expansion, how do you plan that out from the perspective of, is there particular markets you're looking for? Or, you know, you mentioned that in 6 of the 7 states you are fully vertically integrated, but obviously in the 7th you're not. Going forward, do you want to be in markets where you're fully integrated, or would you prefer to be where you do have a retail-only strategy?
Yeah, absolutely. So our number one priority is densification in our existing states. And some of the ways that we'll do that is with our retail partnerships. So right now we're at the cap in some of the states in which we operate, the state-imposed caps. But we are actively pursuing strategies to partner with some of the social equity applicants in those states. So that it's mutually beneficial for them and for us. And we can capture a larger component of the market share through those partnerships. We're also looking to densify further just by wholesale market penetration in our existing states as well. So I mentioned Massachusetts, we went from zero of the doors 2 years ago to 50%, over 50% of the doors. So continuing down that existing penetration. And then in addition to densification in our existing states, we would also look to enter other states that are similar to our existing footprint. And the characteristics that we look for are primarily limited license, densely populated, near adult use or newly adult use markets. And perhaps another kind of plus mark would be if they're contiguous to our existing footprint as well.
Of course, because I mean, that's especially looking forward to the day that legalization or rescheduling comes federally. If they're contiguous, it makes it that much easier for running the business in so many ways.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the things that we're trying to do is get leverage out of our existing corporate infrastructure. And this past quarter, we mentioned that we had a 320 basis point reduction in our G&A as a percentage of revenue compared to last year. So we were able to leverage our existing overhead to support more business. And when you're contiguous to your other states, it just makes it that much easier to leverage your existing infrastructure, particularly corporate, to support that.
Absolutely. And was that as a result of the acquisition strategy and streamlining operations, or was it systems changes, or how did that come about? Because that's an impressive number.
Yeah, it is impressive. It's a kind of a combination of all of them. I would say some of it is, for example, when you convert a state from medical to adult use, you're leveraging pretty much the same infrastructure to support that. And another part of that is the example of our Maryland acquisition. So we acquired 4 dispensaries in Maryland, and it was May or June of 2023, without needing to add significant corporate overhead to support that. So they plugged into our existing kind of shared service model. So I think those are kind of the key. One, the conversion from medical to adult use enables that leverage. And then 2, also just plugging in acquisitions into your existing footprint has enabled that.
Yeah, it absolutely does. I mean, that's always the beauty of an M&A strategy, is when you see the benefits that resonate, not just in terms of there's a revenue growth, but there's a rationalization of the operation as a whole. Because that's, you know, nobody likes to, let's say, lose a job along the way, but the rationalization of the business creates more certainty for everybody who remains, because there's a better, more stability across the operation. You know, one of the things that you do, the company talks about with regards to its future, is key flagship locations with high barriers to entry. What do you look for?
Yeah, so we want to be one turn off of a major roadway with ample parking spaces, plenty of room for multiple points of sale, and just in a highly trafficked area. I think those are some of the keys to what we look for when we're siting our retail locations.
And I mean, that's interesting, because that, of course, is all based on people driving to the stores. What about in urban, like downtown metro areas? Are there things you've seen that are really conducive and positive for foot traffic versus things that you look at and say, yeah, we're not going to succeed because there's a Walmart right here?
Right. Yeah, I think one thing that's nice, I'll give you an example. Our Boston store is on Friend Street in Boston, right by TD Garden. So you get, when people are going to the garden, they'll perhaps come to
our store. It's really hard to watch a hockey game if you're stoned, because the game goes so fast, you can't keep up. I'll let you know.
Hockey, especially with you up there, you probably watch a lot of hockey. But yeah, so like if you are in a walking traffic location, it does help to be near a major recreational entertainment hub.
Right.
Or I'll give you another example. So our Cincinnati, Ohio location, which we just opened on January 2nd of this year, Ohio is still medical for now, but the voters voted on the ballot in November to make it recreational. So we expect the rules and regs to be finalized in the coming months, and this will convert to recreational. And the location that we have there is right near the border of Kentucky. It's in the same parking lot as a Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. Right. There's dozens, if not hundreds, of parking spots there. So it's a nice spot. So if someone were to be going to the casino, then they could easily come to our store right before or after. So in an area that you do want to get that like walking traffic, it helps to be near a major entertainment hub.
Yes. And being right beside a state border where you have access and much bigger catchment area is always an advantage, right?
Absolutely. Yes. A lot of our border stores have done very well historically.
Yeah. It's a very smart strategy. Rebecca, we do have to take one more break, but we're going to be back with everybody in just a minute on the Green Peak with Rebecca Condicore from Ascend. I'm Richard Zwicky. And Rebecca on the Green Peak with Rebecca Condicore from Ascend. And Rebecca, in this last segment, there's a couple of things that would be great to discuss. One is, of course, Ascend has grown tremendously through the years, and at different times, different financing opportunities were available to businesses. And Ascend is a public company. It's traded and, you know, can share the ticker symbol for everybody as well. But as a legacy, you've got a $275 million loan that comes due in the Q3 of next year. How does Ascend plan to address that?
Yeah, absolutely. So We have been actively and actually proactively engaging our existing lenders and potential lenders on the refinancing of this $275 million term loan. And what we've said publicly is that we plan to address it before it becomes current on the balance sheet. So that would be August of 2024 this year. So we are actively addressing it, and we've had really productive conversations with our existing lender group and the prospective lender group. And we hope to have more updates in the coming quarters, but it's something that we plan to address before August of this year.
Yeah, fortunately, because with your full year revenue being up so significantly, it makes it a lot easier than it does for some who are struggling.
Yeah, it's been, the market has been really, the reception has been very warm, and we have been very pleased with the reaction. I think most people are also pretty happy that we've been trying to get as far ahead of it as possible. So that's also been another benefit.
And being public, and you know, I'll let you share the ticker symbol, but that also always helps, because that share capital gives the investor and the lenders greater flexibility.
Yes, absolutely. And our ticker symbol, we're traded the Canadian Securities Exchange and over the counter in the US, ticker AAWH.
And of course, the other thing that everybody who's involved with in the industry is looking forward to, of course, you know, apart from safe banking and rescheduling and everything else, is how are they going to deal with the 280Es?
Uh-huh. Yes. So 280E is our tax strategy is a big component of the business. And we announced on our earnings call that we filed amended federal tax returns for 2020, 2021, and 2022. And basically what we've been arguing with the support of our tax attorneys and an opinion from this third party tax attorneys is that the federal government doesn't have the right to tax and regulate state legal intrastate commerce. So if we're operating in jurisdictions where it's state legal, the federal government doesn't have the ability to tax those operations. So we're hoping that if we were successful in receiving a return from the government for these amendments, that we would be able to apply those funds to our 2023 federal tax obligations.
So if that were to be an approved, if that were to be accepted, would that not open the door of a Pandora's box to other businesses that only operate, I guess there's not too many that only operate within a state that aren't federally legal, that it would matter, but it would, other businesses that don't operate in multiple states could run into a way to avoid federal taxes?
I'm sure that many folks are looking at some of the.
I'm always looking for ways not to pay tax.
Yeah.
What?
I'm sure many folks would be able to use an argument that would be one as precedent, perhaps, and they could apply that to their business as well. I know we've been out there as one of the more aggressive companies with our tax strategy, along with some other folks that have been in the media lately on this. And I'm sure that they would try to leverage this to their advantage as well.
Yeah, which you'll probably get a lot of support from others who can see an opportunity.
Yes. Yes. Hopefully.
Right. Not just within this industry in general. So before we end, I mean, one of the things always is to look forward, and you know, so many of the economies around the world are a bit wishy-washy, but fundamentally they're all strong and just recovering from the pandemic. We always look and panic at bad news as opposed to looking at what's good. But, you know, the market point that you pointed to earlier with the value products taking off and being a larger percentage of sales is indicative of people's overall sentiment. What do you see happening in the next 12 and 18 months as far as not Ascend, but the rest of the industry? Do you see that there's going to be a big change? Is there going to be consolidation? Do you see that there's going to be opportunities that nobody foresaw?
Yeah. I mean, I think there will continue to be consolidation, particularly in some of the states where there has been a little bit more aggressive price normalization and there are some distressed operators. That being said, a lot of these companies are also bumping up against the caps, the state imposed caps in the state. So that will limit consolidation to an extent. Right. But I do think there will continue to be consolidation going forward into next year. But we're really positive and really bullish on the year ahead. We've got Ohio that we expect to go adult use in Q3. So we're excited about that with 5 stores there. And we guided on our call to double digit top and bottom line growth for next year. So we think there's plenty of opportunity ahead within the business as it stands today.
And when a state goes adult use and you've already got a store, what's the net effect as a percentage basis on each store? Do you know?
It depends state by state, but I can give you an example with Maryland because this was kind of publicly disclosed. So when we acquired the 4 dispensaries in Maryland, we disclosed that they were operating at a $17 million revenue run rate. And since then, with the conversion to adult use in our most recent 10K, you'll see that there's a 2.5 times revenue multiplier once it went to adult use. So in New Jersey, it was a lot steeper than that. In some of these other states, we expect it to be kind of similar to a Maryland, 2.5 times makes a lot of sense. It all depends on a few different factors like the medical market penetration and a few other things. But I think 2.5 times is pretty solid, and we're really excited about that.
Yeah, no, it's not insignificant.
No, it's not. That's for sure.
So, Rebecca, we are out of time for today, but I'd like to thank you for joining us on the Green Peak. Before you go, people who want to learn more about Ascend, I'll get you to mention ticker symbol again and where to look for that. But for more information, where should they visit?
Yes, absolutely. www.awholdings.com. And if they want investor-specific information, they could do /investors.
Fantastic. Thanks for joining us today. It's been great. And thanks to everybody for listening. We'll be back again with you very soon. I'm Richard Zwicky on the Green Peak.